This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, we can't allow the meeting at the White House the day before yesterday between President Trump and the Syrian President Bashar just to go unmentioned, because I think it is a very significant moment. And it was interesting how the Syrian president was received at the White House, and how he's become effectively laundered. I mean, here is a man who was a member of ISIS and who was being pursued by the U.S. administration in his capacity as a member of ISIS, and who's now taken over the helm of Syria. And I suppose it's all a question of, you know, better the devil you know than you don't know in some cases, but also a lot better than what the previous regime looked like. And so all of a sudden, he starts to look quite good when he is held up as a comparison to what was there before. But I know that President Trump is desperately trying to pursue the Abraham Accords, and one of his dreams is not only to bring Kazakhstan in, as he did last week, which I think is kind of a very small success, because in any event, Israel had diplomatic relations with Kazakhstan to begin with. But okay, they signed up to the Abraham Accords. But I think that President Trump, the two big fish that President Trump is really running after right now, is Syria on the one hand and Saudi Arabia on the other hand. So I think that he's very eager to somehow make that happen. So it's just an interesting development at this particular time. And certainly it indicates to us that over the past 2 years, times have really changed a lot. And the other thing I just wanted to mention was the award that Gal Gadot has received. Yes. She's the 2026 Genesis Prize winner, and really deservedly, in my opinion. Gal Gadot, of course, is a Wonder Woman in more ways than one, and has really stood up for Israel's cause in Hollywood. She is an influencer. She is highly respected in Hollywood as an actress and as a member of the Hollywood community. And she has not been one of those people who felt the need to pander to the general consensus opinion about Israel of those around her. On the contrary, she stood up and she has been proud of Israel. She has held private screenings for her Hollywood friends to show them raw footage of the events of October the 7th. She has been a supporter of Israel through thick and thin, and potentially risked her Hollywood career in the process of doing so, and friendships of other people who clearly stand on the other side of the fence. And she has been a massive influencer in terms of standing up to anti-Semitism. So I salute Gal Gadot, and I very much support her as the winner of the 2026 Genesis Prize. Of course, it is traditional for the $1 million prize money to be donated, and Gal indeed has decided that she will be donating that money to Israeli NGOs to help them, to help the nation recover from the war.
Amazing. Before we talk about some of the other stories, a few people asking what is happening with those 200 terrorists in the tunnels. Is there an update on that?
Well, the update on that really is part of the discussions that have been going on between Prime Minister Netanyahu and Jared Kushner, who's been in Israel and is due to be joined by Steve Witkoff, I understand, to hold discussions with the Prime Minister. But I understand that those 200 terrorists are part of the overall discourse and discussion that's been going on between Israel and the USA on what happens next in Gaza. And there are so many different moving parts here. The first thing I'd like to say is that we understand, and I saw some footage that shows a huge explosion in the Rafah area within the yellow zone. And I'm told by the footage, by the subtext of the footage that I saw, that that explosion was the tunnel in which Hadar Golden's body was taken out of. So I understand from that that the IDF have been operating to destroy that tunnel. And I guess that that's not the same tunnel where the 200 terrorists are holed up. They must be somewhere else, because the US is doing whatever they possibly can to avoid a conflict over these 200 terrorists. And my understanding is that the US is now trying to demand of the Israeli government that in the event, if they manage to convince the terrorists to give up their arms, that the Israeli government should allow those terrorists to go free. Mm. At the moment, Israel does not have free rein to simply go in and to destroy them or to smoke them out or to arrest them or to take any military action against them, because their hands are kind of being tied at the moment by the discussions with the US. And of course, President Trump, in his pursuit of the Nobel Peace Prize and many other things, is trying to avoid a return to conflict. And the only real way, I think, in which Israel is able to deal with them in a way that Israel only knows how, is to essentially send a brigade of IDF troops in and to literally take them on. And that might mean exploding the tunnel that they're in and potentially killing those people. And the US administration is very afraid that that situation might then propel the current ceasefire into another round of conflict. So there are different conflicting sides to this. But my understanding is that the US view is currently prevailing, but this issue is far from over.
Mm. The High Court of Justice has asked the parties in the state Tayman case to reach an out-of-court agreement. What does that mean?
So I've sort of avoided talking about the state Tayman case, but eventually this was going to happen. It all broke last week while I was away, and I'm not quite sure, Howard, if you have discussed this at all.
We have discussed.
But it's a kind of a very, very unsavory story. And the only thing I know about state Tayman for sure is that I don't know everything. Mm. And there is a lot of information behind the scenes. So I'm going to try and stick as much as I can to facts that are known and verified rather than so many rumors that are swirling around. What we do know is that state Tayman is a base in the south of Israel, that it is a military base that was used to bring people from Gaza, detainees, prisoners, call them as you wish, terrorists who have been taken into custody during the initial stages of the war in Gaza, were brought to state Tayman for interrogation, because at that stage, as we always are in a situation where we're looking for extra intelligence, and that early stage of the war, that was more so the case. We were really looking for intelligence about hostages and about plans and activities, and state Tayman was the center where a lot of this activity took place. And it goes without saying that things happened there which really shouldn't be published in the press. And I'm not suggesting, even though that Israel is a signatory to the Geneva Convention, I'm not suggesting that everything was done by the law there, but we were in a very, very extreme war situation with more than 200 Israelis taken hostage. And I think that behaviors at that time were commensurate with things that were going on in the field. And I'm not necessarily trying to defend any unlawful behavior that might have taken place, because Israel does have rules and regulations about how prisoners are treated, and you know, we can talk about that as a separate time. But clearly there was some activity that went on at state Tayman which was not really savory, and which shouldn't have gone out into the public arena. And yet videos were taken of prisoners being mistreated, and one of those videos at least was released to the general public and to the press. And we now understand that the military attorney general Ifat Tomer Yerushalmi was involved somehow in allowing that video to be released. And there are suggestions that she might even have tried to encourage that video to be released for reasons which really are not yet clear. And she was relieved of her duties when this became clear, and she's now been completely fired from the military. And there are rumors that she's tried to commit suicide on one or two occasions, and her phone was apparently thrown into the sea, but miraculously recovered by some random person who was in the sea and discovered this phone and picked it up out of the water, and it was still working. And lo and behold, when she pressed the buttons on the phone, it became clear that this was the military advocate attorney general's phone, and the phone has been handed in. Who knows what's on that phone? But the point is that right now, some sort of an investigation needs to be conducted into her and the activities that surround the release of this video. And they can't really come to an agreement as to who will conduct this investigation. It is so sensitive, and there are so many different parties and interests involved, that whoever is appointed will really need to be independent. And the question is whether it is even possible to find somebody who has the necessary legal training and ability, and will also be considered independent enough to represent all the different parties. And this has gone to the High Court in order for the court to decide who should be the investigator. That's kind of where we're at right now, still trying to decide who will investigate the case. And that couldn't be agreed between the parties, and so it went to the court. And the court decided that they would give the parties another day or two until tomorrow at noon to reach a compromise, rather than the court having to decide who will be the investigator. So that's where we're at. There will be a lot more discussion about this particular case, and it seems to reach quite high levels of government. Members of the government and members of the Knesset have become very involved in trying to pursue one particular side or the other. One thing that, another thing that has become clear to me is that there seem to be so many different interests involved here, that I'm completely confused as to whether people are actually supporting the military attorney general in what she did because potentially she was manipulated to do it, or they are opposing it because what she did was clearly not in keeping with the principles of the IDF. I really am as confused as everybody else about who has done what here, but I hope that all of that will become clearer once this investigation begins.
The IDF has increased its activities in southern Lebanon. That's over the past week. What's going on here?
Well, a few things are going on. First of all, what we know is that after the IDF succeeded in that incredible pager attack that managed to really paralyze much of the mid-level and the higher level of Hezbollah in Lebanon, it seems that Hezbollah have been recovering pretty quickly in order to try and reestablish their position in southern Lebanon. Now, this is all against the backdrop of the Lebanese government having been given power by the US administration and by the weakness of Hezbollah to try to take control of Lebanon. And as part of them taking control of Lebanon, one of the demands has been, also, by the way, insisted upon by the US administration, is to disarm Hezbollah completely. In that quest, they have failed so far. And even though they've determined and required Hezbollah to be disarmed, so far that has not happened. And Israel has decided to take things into their own hands, the IDF in particular, through intelligence that they've been gathering in southern Lebanon, has noticed that Hezbollah is recovering very quickly. We understand that Iran has been involved in helping to rearm Hezbollah very quickly in southern Lebanon. And so the IDF has been carrying out very pinpoint and clinical attacks in southern Lebanon against areas where Hezbollah has been re-establishing itself in southern Lebanon, or places that might not have been destroyed during the initial war that was conducted against Hezbollah. Now, the Lebanese government has sort of come out and notionally warned the IDF not to get involved, but I think secretly this is very much supporting the Lebanese government. And we also know that the US administration has come in to effectively turn a blind eye to all of the attacks that the IDF have been carrying out in southern Lebanon, effectively supporting the work that the IDF has been doing, and has warned the Lebanese government again that they need to insist upon Hezbollah becoming disarmed and really taking control over Lebanon, including the areas of southern Lebanon, where the Lebanese government up until now really has not been able to do any work at all. So this is all very, very important work that the IDF is doing, clinical and pinpoint, using intelligence and using inside information in order to destroy individuals who are currently active in helping Hezbollah to rebuild in southern Lebanon, and also targeting weapons storage facilities, weapons production facilities, places where weapons are being transported backwards and forwards that could potentially present a threat on Israel's northern border now and in the future. This is work that is being really important, even though it hasn't been presented in the press as such. But I can't emphasize how important this stage is in order to somehow manage to build on the great work that was done over the last 2 years and the weakness that was dished out to Hezbollah through the attacks.
Absolutely unbelievable. That is where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.